So Lord, we thank you that you're here this morning, God. We thank you that we can seek you, Lord, while you may be found. Because Lord, we sometimes so forget, Lord, that there's going to become one day there's going to come a day of reckoning and a day of judgment, Lord. Where your mercy will come to an end, Lord. Where your grace has to go over into your judgment and into your perfection and into your holiness, Lord. And where sin cannot stand before you any longer. And Lord, thank you that Jesus has come to give us a life this morning. Jesus has come to this earth to bring life, God. And this morning we come and we thank you for this window of opportunity that we have as believers in this nation, especially, Lord, where we can worship you freely. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the fear of God is upon us this morning, because we know, Lord, that you are just a loving God, but you're also a holy and a perfect God. Lord, this morning we actually say sorry for so many times playing games with you, God, and playing church with you, Lord, and playing religion with you, God, but you're a holy and an awesome God who's come to give us the opportunity to have a relationship with you, God. And we want to seek you this morning with everything in us, God. We don't want to miss you, God. But we know, Lord, you seek more after us than we seek after you. And we thank you this morning that you are finding some of us this morning, Lord. Because we are lost, God. You are never lost, Lord. And we don't find you, Lord, because you are holy and you are awesome and you are in control, God. And you have found us this morning. You have come to us this morning to pluck us out of the fire, God. And at the same time, you ignite the fire in us for your purposes, God. So we thank you, Lord, that you don't just seek us and you don't just find us to give us a happy life. You find us for a purpose, God. You have got a calling for each one of these people here this morning, God. You have got a calling. And I just sense the Lord is saying to you, it's time to walk in your calling. Some people, you need to know this morning. There's a couple of people here. You need to know that God wants you to walk in your calling. Stop playing around. Stop playing games. Stop trying to make money and trying to build a career and trying to build a life. God has given you life. Jesus has given you life this morning. It's time to find your calling, says God. It's time to walk in your calling. Some people, you know what your calling in it is, and you're just disobedient. You're walking away from what God has said to you already. And God says he's got people's lives to touch through you. So stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop feeling like you're just another number. You're just supposed to be part of the rat race. God said, I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. And he's got a purpose for you this morning. If that's you this morning, I just want to pray for you. I just sense there's some people, you've kind of lost your purpose. And I want to pray for you this morning right now. Just want to trust that God would ignite that fire in you. Is there anyone like that this morning? God is speaking to you right now. Just be bold to raise your hand. Just want to trust the Lord that he just imparts something in your life. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand. Be bold. Thanks for those hands. God, I pray for your precious people this morning, Lord. I pray that you would help them to discover who they are in you, first of all, that they're sons and daughters of the Most High. But God, that they've got a calling and a destiny that you have worked out perfectly for them, God. Thank you that they don't have to run around anymore, Lord, being wanderers in the desert, Lord. But I thank you, Here, I thank you for ochend, Here, for e destiny, Here, e eindpunt, Here, maar ook die reis, Lord, the journey that you want to walk with them. And through that journey, they're going to touch people's lives, Lord. So I pray that destiny back into every heart. I pray that fire to every heart here this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, ignite that fire, God. Ignite that passion for you and your purposes more than anything else. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence, God. We just worship you. We lift up our hands to you. We lift up our hearts to you. We say, Lord, here we are. Use us, Jesus. We as a church want to see your kingdom come, God. And so, here we are. Speak to us. Spirit of God, teach us, guide us, lead us. We need you this morning, Lord. Break open your word to us this morning. God, I pray for every heart right now that's sitting under this word, that you would cause fruit to come from every life this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that your word will return with a purpose that it was sent out to do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. We worship you. We love you, Lord. Let's give Jesus just a hand in this place, because he's so amazing. Amen. Give glory to his name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, band. Sure, you guys are awesome. Isn't the band amazing? Their commitment to worship the Lord, to lead us. Thanks, Melissa and the team. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have you here. Just, can I see who's visiting us? I see there's so many new faces here this morning. Can I see who you guys are? First time guests. You're not visitors, you're guests. We see you as guests. We trust that you're going to stay. I mean, you know, a visitor comes and goes, but guests stay. Amen? So we see you as guests this morning. Amen. We love you guys. Isn't Jesus good? Amen. I'm excited this morning for what the Lord has for us. But I want to just share a story to start off with. I'm making myself quite vulnerable this morning, but it's good. God just said I'm going to share the story. And I watched a movie. My wife and I went to go watch a movie on Friday night. Okay, circumstances just changed. We weren't supposed to. We were supposed to do something else that night. And it ended up that we went to watch a movie. And so my wife's like, what must we go watch? Because, you know, we really don't want to watch. There's so much junk out there. And we want to, like, watch something that will either really build us up or really be a deep message or something. We don't want to just, you know, waste our time with stuff. So we went to watch, I don't know if, has anyone here seen Boy Choir? Some people. I really want to say, go watch it. It's very inspirational. But I didn't know what God was going to do in my life that night because I thought, ah, it's another movie. And, you know, I'm not so keen on movies. My wife loves movies. So sort of, in a way, sort of did it more for her. But I also, you know, I do enjoy movies. But sometimes I'd rather, like, speak to her and have conversation and not, you know, sort of just watch a movie because you like to connect as well. When you're so busy, both of our lives are so busy, we don't often get time to connect. But anyway, so we sit in this movie, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm watching this movie, and it's about this boy who's been rejected. His mother's an alcoholic, and the father actually was in another relationship, was married, and sort of, you know, slept with her, and that's how he came about. And so his father didn't really want to know anything about him because he was like the secret boy. So he grew up, and he was very musical. And so his father paid for him to get into this National Boys Choir. It's the most amazing choir in America, Boys Choir. It's junior school. And so he's gone to this hostel now, and they didn't really want him, but because his father had so much money, he paid a lot of money, so he got in there, and the guys didn't really want him there, but they thought, ugh, the money's, you know, cool, so let's just give him a chance. They could see he had talent, but he was really far behind the rest of the guys. So anyway, he's in this boarding school, and it's, you know, a typical hostel scenes, and so now he's obviously got a lot of rejection in his life, and so these guys just push him out because who is he now? And so he's sitting there alone at the table, and everyone else is like, they've got their cliques, and this guy's like all alone here and on his own and everything. And so it was, so throughout this movie, so anyway, long story short, the guy eventually, I don't want to tell you that you must go watch it, but anyway, he's basically he became the best. He got a solo opportunity at the best, well, the top choir competition or whatever, and so he ended up being the best singer out of all of them, and eventually got accepted, and so on. But just throughout this movie, something started to touch my heart, because I could identify with this guy. Could identify with this little boy, because when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus in high school, I was 15 years old, and I gave my life to Jesus in standard 7, beginning of the year, on my birthday. And since that time, I was kind of just, I experienced incredible pushing aside. I was just being teased the whole time. I was being, like, rejected, and I realized, you know, I've never experienced rejection from my parents. My parents are amazing. In fact, I couldn't understand, where does this come from? And the Lord just started to show me that it comes from at school. I experienced incredible rejection at school because I wasn't part of the in crowd. And in fact, I never wanted to be part of the in crowd because I gave my life to Jesus. I always wanted to do the right thing. And so obviously, being a very serious person, and, you know, when people start to tease you and start to make a mockery of you, you know, and you're very serious, life becomes even more tough because you don't react like you should react and just keep calm. And so I was like, I could identify with this guy, and my wife can't understand because I'm crying in this movie, but I'm trying to, like, you know, wipe the tears away that she doesn't see. And after the movie, we going in the car, and she says, "What are you crying?" You know, and like, she's almost, I said, "Don't laugh now. I'll tell you now why." So we get into the car, and I'm like, started to bawl, like, my eyes out there. I'm like shaking. I'm so touched by the Spirit, and I'm just thinking, what's going on? I said to her, it's so weird. And she's just putting her hand on me. She doesn't know what to do. She's never seen me like this before. But I just experienced just God saying to me, you know, this is where I've brought you from. This is where I've brought you from, where you were rejected by people, where you were cast away, and I've brought you to a purpose. You have got a purpose and a calling for me, and to see my kingdom come. And I think more of it was just the fact that, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, God, that I've got a calling and a purpose, and I'm so passionate to see your kingdom come. And I don't care what people think. I was so upset that I didn't get Spirit-filled at school, because I think if I got filled with the Holy Spirit at school, I would have been preaching the gospel. I would have been telling guys to repent, and I think they would have probably thought I'm even more crazy. But anyway. But I ended up going into performance mode, and I was very successful at school. I achieved 3 colors awards for academics, athletics, and cross country. So I went into performance mode to try and show that I'm okay. And God just showed me again what He's wanting to do in my life. And I've forgiven those guys. I dealt with it a while ago, but I just realized God is starting to touch me. And I believe He's starting to touch all of us in this time to deliver us from rejection, from failure, from fears, from doubts, from whatever it is in your life. Amen. Isn't that exciting? You know, God can use a movie to give you deliverance. Amen? Isn't that so amazing? I'm like, I said to my wife, this is so awesome. God is good, and God will use anything to get to your heart. So this morning, I trust that He's going to get to your heart in a special way. Amen? So I want you to open your heart. I don't want you to think this is just another message. I've heard this all before. You know, the Word of God is powerful, guys. Amen? This morning when we were praying, I said to the intercessors, I said, guys, we've got to pray the Word of God over the service. Because I just realized again, the Word of God is the highest form of authority in our lives. The Word of God is even exalted above His name, the Bible says. God has exalted His Word above His name. And so this morning is so awesome. When we sit under the Word of God, we get touched. We get changed. We get an experience with God. So this morning I trust that the Word would touch you wherever you are this morning. And so I'm going to continue on. Last week I started this a thing on called One Response. And does anyone know what this one response is that God really wants from us at this time? Can anyone shout out the word? Anyone? Louder? Okay. God, I believe, and this is not the only response God wants from us, but I believe God wants a response from us at this time called humility. Amen? And last week, I just shared a few things about worldly pride and spiritual pride that we can many times have. We can either go into the world and love the world more, and that's actually just the pride of the world, the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. And then there's also spiritual pride. For us in church, we've grown to a place where we know a lot of things, we know Jesus, and then we can get to a place of spiritual pride many times. And so I looked at those things. But this morning, and I also want to share a quick vision that I saw last week in the evening service. Last Sunday in the evening service, it was so amazing. God showed me that He is really starting to feel welcome in this church. He's really feeling welcome, and He wants to come and touch lives in our church. He's like moving in here, and He's feeling welcome, and He's actually feeling like He can start to go to people and to really speak to them. And I'm so excited about that, because someone confirmed it 2 weeks ago, shared the same thing, that he saw this picture of a presence of God in this church, and God's wrapping us around His wing, and He's really wanting to be intimate with us at this time. But it's so important that even though God is welcome in the church, it's so important that you as an individual welcome God into your heart as well. That He can touch you, that He can speak to you, that He can minister to you. And so there's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 57 which the Lord took me to. It says the following. It says, "For thus says the High and the Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." And then He says the following, "With Him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." An amazing scripture, and talking about people who are broken, talking about people who have been rejected, people who have been downcast, people who feel they've got no purpose in life. God wants to dwell with Him who has a broken heart and a humble spirit. And He wants to revive us. You see, God speaks here about dwelling. He says He doesn't just want to come visit us. He wants to live permanently with us. That's what dwelling means. It means inhabit. He wants to inhabit your heart, inhabit your life. But you see, there is a key here, because He says He wants to dwell with Him who has a contrite and a humble spirit. You see, God is drawn to humility. It's actually a bit of a paradox if you think about it. God is drawn to humility, but yet at the same time, we need to be humble when God comes, we automatically are humble. So it's like God is drawn to humility, but humility actually only comes when we meet God. Isn't that so? Because we are proud. And God has to come and encounter us to bring us to a place of humility where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And so it's sort of this paradox, because God wants us to be humble, and He's drawn to that, and yet when he arrives on the scene the first time in our lives, we are indeed brought to our knees. And you see, there's a place in our hearts. It's actually called the high and holy place, which God wants to dwell with. And that's the, I believe that high and holy place is a place of humility. God exalts us when we're humble. Amen. God brings us to a high and holy place only when we are humble. I want to ask you guys this morning, has anyone had that amazing experience when you have, when you've done something wrong and you know that you're supposed to forgive, I mean, you're supposed to say sorry, you know it's so difficult, but then you do it and you experience that incredible peace of your life. Has anyone had that experience in your life? It's amazing. And then maybe some of you have had another experience when you've forgiven someone who's done wrong to you and you so don't want to forgive them. You so want to be angry and you so just want to harbor that bitterness in your life, but then you choose to forgive. And immediately you experience that incredible peace over your life, that incredible presence. Amen. Anyone experience that in your life? Or maybe when you've chosen to honor someone and esteem them higher than yourselves, or instead of dishonoring them and speaking badly about them behind their backs. Has anyone done that before? You experience that incredible presence of God when you've just decided to honor or esteem someone more than yourself. Or even when you've just kept quiet in a situation instead of just speaking your mind. You know when you just want to give someone a piece of your mind? Has anyone decided that in you? You know, I'm going to give them a piece of your mind, and then you don't. And you just see the fruits of the presence of God in your life when you just decide not to. You see, I believe this is the presence of, God is drawn to that place where you just decide to take the high road. Amen. Where you just decide not to be negative about someone, not to say sorry to someone, or when you say sorry to someone, when you forgive someone, when you sometimes keep quiet when you're not supposed to speak. But then what about the many times when we've missed that? Amen. Most of us have missed many opportunities like that. So I believe God is attracted to this kind of Christ-like humility. And it's the same with when Jesus came to earth. When the presence of God came to dwell on this earth, what happened? Lots of people missed him as the Messiah. Why? Because of the pride in their hearts. They weren't humble enough to recognize that this is God's plan. And the Messiah has truly come. There's a saying that goes, have humility to be courageous and have courage to be humble. Have humility to be courageous and have courage to be humble. And I believe God wants us at this time to have this humility so that we can be courageous, so that we can be bold, so that we can preach the gospel. But at the same time, we must have an incredible, incredible humility so that he can give us more and more courage and that we remain humble. What is the fruit and the result of such a response? I want to look at five things this morning that I believe God wants us at this time to be able to demonstrate in our lives, to live a life of fruit, to live a life of this kind of response to people around us. 1 John 1 verse 8 says the following, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Did anyone, I want to ask you guys, did anyone have to say sorry this morning already? To your spouse or to your children or to your, just be honest, did anyone have to say sorry this morning already? Yeah. William and Mika, what did you do wrong now again? Only joking. They are a humble couple because they learn to say sorry to each other a lot, you know. but anyway, anyone, okay, who's had to say sorry in the last 2 days? 2 or 3 days, who's had to say sorry? Who's had to say sorry in the last week at least? Okay, the rest of you come forward, I want to pray for you. You see, was it easy to say sorry? And why or why not is it easy to say sorry or not easy to say sorry? It isn't always easy, amen. You see, why isn't it so easy? We don't always recognize that we are wrong. Because we always want to be right. Especially us men. The pride in us says that we are not wrong. No, it was her fault, you know. And meanwhile, you started it. But you see, humility is when we recognize that we do sin and that we make mistakes. Amen. So the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, if we're always right, then we are deceiving ourselves because we do have sin in our lives. We do still make mistakes. We do still miss it. But the greatest promise is that if we confess our sins, Jesus comes and He forgives. Amen. You see, He's already forgiven us. But just because He died on the cross 2,000 years ago doesn't mean that we are all forgiven. That's the hyper grace message that says, you know, we are perfect now. We're not sin. Wrong. We still sin. And the closer we get to God, the more we realize that we need to always confess and humble ourselves and repent and say sorry. And then you know what's going to happen? God is going to forgive you to the place where you are feeling forgiven. Amen. Where you really experience forgiveness. It's not just a choice. At the start, it's a choice. And you feel like you're still a bit of a sinner and you miss it, but God wants you to come to that place where you know that you're forgiven. You're not under condemnation anymore. You're not under judgment. But you've got to confess and be real about the stuff in your life. And then it says that He doesn't only start to forgive us, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's what all of us need. C.S. Lewis says the following. He says, if anyone would like to acquire humility, I think, tell him the first step, he says. The first step is to realize that one is proud. If you think you're not conceited, it means you are very conceited indeed. And I remember with just this last week with my little daughter, Kate, and I, she's sitting on Esther's lap and we're sitting next to her and she's throwing a bit of a tantrum and she's getting upset and she's like ignoring me because I said no in a little bit of a harsh way to her because she couldn't do something and I said to her, no, you're not supposed to do it. And it's like, wah! She hates it when I say no in this harsh voice because she most wants to do whatever she wants to do. So I said to her no and she gets upset and she's getting all... And then like, she looks at me and then she's like, goes, wah, and she's like, almost like so upset with me. And so I flicked her behind her neck like this. I said, hey. And I flicked her a little bit hard and then she only started crying. And so then the Lord just said to me, listen, yeah, that wasn't very nice of you. Now, yes, she was wrong. But now your reaction was not good and you should have just handled her with, and so I had to go and say sorry to you. You know, when you say sorry to your children, it is very humbling because they was always wrong and you're right. Isn't that so? And most of our parents have never said sorry to us when they did something wrong to us. And that's why we have that impartation not to say sorry, because as parents now, we're always right. But God wants us to say sorry. And I want to say there's three words that will really help any relationship. I am sorry. Amen. So some of us need to go back and say sorry to certain people that you have done something wrong to, and you need to recognize it. And you know, the person's probably forgotten about it, and it's over now, but you need to, if you know the Spirit of God is saying to you, you still need to say sorry, then I want you to say sorry to the person. The big word is called repentance. Repentance is such like a heavy word these days, you know, but it's not heavy. It's just to say, I'm sorry. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I made a mistake. And it gives you such freedom when you do that. Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Paul challenges the Colossians. He says, you've got to put on a lot of things, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. He's saying that as believers, we are the elect of God. We are holy, we are chosen, we are righteous. We're supposed to demonstrate these things. We are the beloved of God. We are full of grace. I see this thing here as full of grace. God has given us everything that we can. Full of empowerment. We're the elect of God. We're holy. We're beloved. So we're full of empowerment, full of grace. And because of this empowerment and this grace in our lives, we're able to do the following. We're able to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. That's tough. Does anyone put on that every day? I think we miss it many times. But he says, this is what you must do. Because why? You must put on these things so that you can bear with one another. So that you can take someone else's mess. Because we're all sinners. We all miss it. And then he says the following, and forgive one another if anyone has a complaint against any other person. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you. And Paul actually says there that there's this word that we don't like. You must do this. Ask Esther now. Our children start to tell us now. They say, Daddy, you must do this for me. Daddy and Mommy, you must now put on my clothes. You know, Caitlin, Daddy, jy moet my nou aantrek. Daddy, jy moet my nou cool drink gee. I said, no, I'm not going to moot anything. You ask me nicely to give you a cool drink or to dress you. And so even as parents, we don't like to hear, and as people, we don't like to hear the word must. Isn't that so? We don't like to have commands shouted at us. But unfortunately, for some people and for all of us this morning, it's a bit of a challenge. The Bible is telling us we must do something. You've got no choice here. Amen. There's not a choice in forgiveness. There's like, you have to do it. Why? Because Christ has empowered us. He's died on the cross. He's forgiven all our sins. And so he says, because Christ forgave you, you must. Go and read the Lord's Prayer in Matthew. What does it end off with? If you don't forgive people their sins, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. Scary thought that Jesus tells his disciples, if you're not going to forgive, you know what? You don't understand my forgiveness. Then do you really know me? And if we really know Christ, we've got to forgive. And Paul says, you must do this. Beloved, this is so serious. See, why do we find it difficult to forgive many times? Because of anger in our lives, frustration, fears. And there's something that I learned in the leadership seminar last week that I went to. It really challenged me. Has anyone heard of the chemical epinephrine? We're all the medical people. Epinephrine. Anyone heard of epinephrine? But anyway, so epinephrine is a chemical that's released into our system that affects the rational part of our thinking. And you know what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to put you into fight or flight mode. Anyone ever heard of this? So when something happens, when something comes into your life, some scary moment or someone does something wrong to you or you, then epinephrine gets released and it's supposed to be a good thing. It's actually supposed to be a very good thing in your life. It's supposed to put you into flight mode. In other words, you run away. It's like the lion is coming to chase you. It's scary. So you're going to fly away. You're going to run away or else you're going to fight. You haven't got any other choice. You can't stand still. And so that's what that thing is supposed to do. But now what happens when someone does something wrong to us, then we either go into flight mode and we just sweep it under the carpet and we try to forget about it, or we go into fight mode and we just get angry and we confront. And what do? We say things or do things that we would not normally do because our brains just get a bit wacky. Amen. All of us have experienced this. Come now, we all are there people in here? We're not robots, we're not perfect, we're real. So we say and do things that we would not normally do. Like that email that you want to write. Amen. Praise the Lord for Outlook's drafts folder. You know, you don't send the thing, but you're writing it. And I've had these times as a pastor, I've wanted to write emails and I just don't write them or don't send them. Because it's good for me just to get my stuff off, you know. But sometimes there's not a drafts folder yet in our mouth. And so what do? We say things that we weren't supposed to say. Because there's no catch there. When you've said it and you've hurt someone because you've reacted out of a place of hurt. Or someone says something to you and then you react and then you hate that person and you're so bitter and you're so angry. Because this epinephrine causes your brain to just do weird stuff. You see, I believe Jesus Christ is here to come and give us a different way. He's come to change that in our brains. He's come to give us a different response. The same response that he gave on the cross when he was beaten and killed. And you know what it says? He just kept silent like a lamb to the slaughter. Isn't that amazing? He could have destroyed those people. He could have just taken them out. Because he had the power and he decided not to. Why? Not for him. To demonstrate to us what forgiveness is about. We need to humble ourselves and ask Jesus to help us to forgive everyone. Paul says, not just some people, everyone who's done something wrong, everyone who's hurt you. And this is why our legacy seminar is so powerful. And I want to say to you guys, if you need to do it, do it. Sacrifice whatever to do legacy. Because we need to learn forgiveness. I can't preach about all of this. It takes days to work through it. It's a process. But I just want to tell the truth this morning that we can come to this place of humility and forgiveness. Amen. Let's move on. Philippians chapter 2. I'm enjoying this. I think, how many times? I think have we got until 12 o'clock? 1 o'clock? Is that okay? Can we just close the doors there, Ace? And Okay, I'll try and finish within the time. Philippians 2 from verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look out not only for his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We're talking here about a lifestyle of humility, a lifestyle that God wants us to live, where his presence feels welcome in our lives. His presence feels welcome in our church. And one of them, the third one, is where we lay down our lives for others, serving other people. See, many times we say this, and we know the right thing. We know we're supposed to lay our lives down for others, but do we do it? Do we go into action? I just want to honor someone here this morning. I want Mariska, I want you to come forward. I know you hate me for this, but please just come. Because I just want to honor Mariska in front of the whole church this morning. Because this is someone who demonstrates to me, someone who's just serving. They're not telling anyone they serve. They're not making a thing about it. They're just serving. So I want us to just put our hands together for Mariska sitting behind the sound desk. I think some of us need to spend time with her to ask her, how do you lay down your life for people like you do? How do you come here week after week, Saturday after Saturday? She was here again yesterday afternoon, setting up the sound, sitting behind the sound desk, serving other people at the cost of herself. She would do lots of other. She can do other things on a Saturday or a Sunday. She doesn't even have to be here. But she's decided there's a calling upon her life. There's a calling to lay down her life for other people. And so the Bible says that we should do nothing out of competition. We should do nothing out of a sense of entitlement, because that is unfortunate as a Western people, and not Western people, I think it's just sinful people. We have the sense of entitlement. That we are owed something. Someone always owes us something. The world even owes us something. And so we're so focused on trying to say, you owe me, I'm entitled to this. And you know, if we don't get it, we're angry. But are we prepared to put our own comforts aside? Are we prepared to have a life that's maybe a bit more difficult so that other people can be blessed? And this is challenging for all of us. But he says there's a reason why we aren't humble, because we do things out of competition. We're trying to be better than other people. We're trying to get up the ranks and the ladders. And so we want to use people instead of using things and loving people. We love things and use people. And I want you to think of your marriage this morning. Think of, what do you feel your spouse owes you? Because that's what we go into marriage with. Andy Stanley says it amazingly in I Marriage. I want you to, guys who are married, go and search for I Marriage. It's this little I, big marriage. Because there's two big I's that come into a marriage, and you know what? They want everything. The one I wants something, and the other I wants something. So we feel we owe each other, or we feel the other person owes us something the whole time. Instead of going into marriage saying, what can I do to serve this person? And we do it. I went into marriage thinking, yes, I'm going to serve my, she's amazing, she's so beautiful, honeymoon, we're going to serve each other. And then you live a little bit, and then you just, what's in it for me? What can you do for me? And we don't appreciate it, and I'm guilty here. I don't appreciate the food she makes for me every day, because it's expected. It's like naught. That's like, if you're below that, you missed it. There's no blessing, there's no love, there's no, because we just have to get to naught. Just owe each other something. Let each of you not only look out for his own interests. And the good news here this morning is that we can look out for our own interests. God doesn't want us to suffer and to never have life because we're serving other people. He wants us to look out for ourselves. That's great. Isn't that cool for us selfish people? Yes, oh cool, we can look out for our own interests. But you know what he says? But also look out for the interests of others. So look after yourself. Make sure that you've got enough money to live. Don't give away all your money and then you say, okay, God, I'm suffering. God says, look out for yourself. Be a good steward. But as long as, and I'm talking here about your budget. If there's not in your budget a place where you're giving, if there's not in your time in a week where you're not giving to other people, and I want to challenge you with your time and your money. In your budget, if there's no place to give to other people, to love other people, to bless other people, then you're being selfish. I want to say that straight this morning. And if there's no time in your week for spending time with other people, for laying down your life for others, for just coming to bless someone else, then you're selfish. And God wants to deal with you. Amen. He loves you.
Because you know, selfishness is terrible. It's all self-focused, and you get full of yourself. And you know, I don't want to be full of myself because I know I'm so sinful. I want to be less of myself, more of Jesus. Amen. Anyone want to be like that? Less of yourself, more of Jesus. Because the more you have of yourself, you know what? You're going to be very, very unhappy. The most blessed people are like people like Mariska, where she's just loving seeing lives changed every Sunday because she's part of it. She's giving of herself. And so guess what? There's place to serve at the sound desk. There's place to serve in church. There's place to come here on a Sunday where we don't just receive. We don't just come at 9 o'clock and leave at 11 or 10:30. We come at 8 o'clock and start to pray for people. Come at Saturday afternoon, help pack out a few chairs. It's amazing when we start to serve. We start to not do things because we are trying to gain stuff the whole time. We do things because Jesus has given us a life. Amen. And the world doesn't owe us anything. In fact, Jesus has given us everything. People don't have to owe us everything, anything. Because Jesus has given us life. And we lack nothing this morning. I want to say that to some people. From this place of life, we can serve. Amen. From this place of life, we can come out of competition into humility and say, Jesus, I want to be like you. Titus 3 verse 1 to 2. I need to move quickly through these last two. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So Paul is saying to Titus, you and your church, you need to remind your church, Pastor Titus, that you must remind them that, you know what, these are the basics. We've already taught these things. Submissive and obedient, ready to do good work, speaking good, be peaceable, gentle, humble. Not only humble in certain situations, it says show all humility to all men, even the most difficult people. You see, a big test of humility is showing respect to authority in our lives. Do we respect the government? And it's actually talking about rulers and authorities, about government. But God tests our hearts for leaders through lots of different ways. But the government, do we respect the government? Or do we speak negative about the country at the moment? Are we submitting under the laws? You know, do we stop at stop signs? Do we keep within the speed limit? I don't want to get legalistic here, but I want to get truthful here. We need to drive sensibly. We need to submit to authorities. We need to submit to structures where it doesn't feel comfortable. And we can have a whole teaching on authority and so on. But I just want to testify of one. When I went on a mission to India one year, I was the co-leader. Okay? And the leader was a student. He was younger than me. And so towards the end of the mission, he just said to us, listen, yeah, we are going to pray in the spirit now up at this weird statue, this like God up there on the hill. We're going to pray in the spirit because this is like battle time. And so we're going to pray in the spirit and we are going to trust God to show us what to do. And at the time, I was feeling a little bit rebellion in my heart because I didn't want to, this guy, what's the spiritual stuff? And I was at the back because he was at the front. When we used to walk two by two, then he would ask me to just walk at the back to make sure no one got lost and he was going ahead. So I just felt, you know what, I don't feel like praying in the spirit now. And there was actually such division in the team. And I said to him, you know, why do we have to pray in the spirit? Why can't we just like pray specific stuff? Or why do we have to like, this is like weird. It doesn't make sense to me. And he said to me, listen, yeah, please, I don't appreciate this now because we're actually in a battle zone now. And so we can talk about this afterwards, but no, please don't, you know, cause division. I just realized that there's division in the team because half the team didn't want to do what he asked them to do. And I realized it's because of me. And so I was channeled. I said to him, listen, I'm really sorry because I'm trying to figure this out now, but I hear you. It's not time to figure it out. Let's just do what you say. You feel God saying that now, so let's do it. I was so challenged at the time. I said to him, I'm really sorry. I realized I was wrong. I should have been submitting under you. It was something in my heart because I realized it wasn't about the praying in tongues or anything. It was just something in my heart that was just rebelling against you. So I'm really sorry. And he said, yeah, I appreciate it, man. Let's go. And the last week of them, or the last few days, were super blessed. And the people who were just kind of getting lost in the team were pulled back. And it was really ended off on a good note. But I just realized that I needed to be submitting to the authority in my life at that time. And I was older than him. And it was like, you know, I was even a leader in the adult zone. And he was in the student zone. So it wasn't about, you know, in the church, I had kind of a more senior position, if you really put it like that. But you know what? On the mission, I was under him. And he actually appointed me because he believed that I was going to be a good co-leader. But in order to give honor to other people, in order to submit under rulers and authorities, we must be humble. Because pride will always exalt itself against authority. That's the big thing that's going to happen in our lives. Pride will say, you know what? I don't want to submit because that person is not like me, or that person is stupid now. They're doing such weird things. And God says we don't have to obey. If we, you know, it says here we must obey. But if they do something that's against God, we obviously don't obey them, but we still submit. Because there's a difference between submission and obedience. Submission is when we honor someone from our hearts. Amen. It says be subject. In other words, just be submissive to rulers. In other words, it's from your heart. You've got to be humble to do this. And yes, you obey them. If they go against the word of God, obviously you don't obey them because God is the highest authority. But God puts authority figures in our lives. And I believe the Bible is so true because it says in order to give honor, we need to be humble. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Proverbs 18:12. And before honor is humility. And so in order to honor all people, and you know what the Bible actually says? We must honor all people. We must honor the function that people are in. Whether they, like the street sweeper or whatever, we must honor the fact that someone is actually born. Because it's God's person. Amen? Some people just have different functions in structure because God is into order. God has put leaders in place. God has, and it's different leaders, church leaders, school leaders, sports people. There's captains, coaches. There's order in God's, and it's not about someone being better than the other person. And we shouldn't aspire to go up the order necessarily. If we haven't been called there, then don't go there. Don't try to be there. But just honor someone else's function. And the fact that everyone is born means that they have a function in life. We must honor that. But it's easy to honor someone who's sort of below you in the food chain, eh? Isn't that so? Ugh, you know, but to honor someone who's actually been put in an authority figure over your life, are you going to honor them when the pawpaw strikes the fan? When you don't agree with them? Are you going to just walk away? And we did encounter two yesterday, and it, I know it changed people's lives because we talked about this stuff, about honoring leadership. Before honor comes humility. Humility is the key here. Then the last one, Proverbs 11 verse 2, New Living Translation says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And once again it says, before honor is humility. Proverbs 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. These three things go together. The fear of the Lord, humility and wisdom, they go together. If we want wisdom, you know what we need to have? We need to have humility. We need to have the fear of the Lord. And guys, in South Africa at the moment, if there's ever a time that we need wisdom, especially as the church, it's now. We cannot just go with the flow anymore. We need to say, God, give us wisdom as the church of Jesus Christ. Give us wisdom as believers because the time is short. And our nation is going one way, but I believe the church is starting to stand up. This afternoon we're going to have a time of repentance. They're calling it the National Day of Repentance. There's people coming all over to join you in the CUT Butrosky Hall. 2,000 people about to repent before God and just to bring our hearts before God. And so if you want to go, you're welcome to get tickets from Belinda. You need a ticket. There's a couple of tickets I bought. But if you want to go, join us. But I believe we need to seek God's face. It's not about that event. You know, the events are cool, but it's about a lifestyle where we say, God, we want to seek your face for our nation. We want to seek your face for our lives, Lord, because we cannot walk around wasting time any longer. We need your wisdom. Ephesians 5 talks about it. It says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Walk in wisdom. Paul writes to the Ephesians, says, walk in wisdom. And you know where the wisdom comes from? It comes from Christ himself. But you know what he gave? He left you on earth. He left us with his spirit. And the Spirit of God is wisdom. In fact, if you read through Proverbs, you can just replace wisdom with the Spirit of God. Because He is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. In fact, it says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of instruction, might, power. You see, wisdom leads to riches, honor, and life. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to be influential. He wants us to be wealthy that we can give to his kingdom. He wants us to live a life of honor and to have abundant life. I think if we walk in wisdom, we're going to have that life that God wants for us. Amen. But wisdom comes from a place of humility where we fear God and not people. I believe God wants each of us to walk in wisdom. He wants us to all have a life where wisdom goes before us, where the Spirit is leading us, and we don't get angry, frustrated. We don't let circumstances change us and take us off our path. He wants us to walk in that wisdom of God, to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So what happens? You know, there's this ideal world, eh? Think of an ideal world. What happens if all believers lived in this way? What happens if all believers lived in a way that we all say sorry immediately? We all forgive easily and completely. We all serve other people. We all honor and respect authority. And we all live a life of wisdom. Wouldn't that be an amazing world? And you know what? It's not a perfect world. Because we still make mistakes. As long as when we make mistakes, we say sorry. As long as when something's done wrong to us, we forgive. But as long as we have a heart to see other people blessed and serve other people, as long as we have a heart to respect God ultimately and the authorities He has placed, put in place, as long as we walk in wisdom, and we don't walk perfectly in wisdom. God doesn't expect us to walk perfectly in wisdom. But He does expect us to become like Him. And so I believe it sounds like an ideal world, but guess what? It's not an ideal world, because it's something that God wants for us. Would anyone agree with that? I believe it's something that God wants for us. And so it's not going to happen quickly, but I believe if our hearts are humble and we say, God, change us, make us Christ-like. If we allow Jesus to come and teach us and to impart His life into us, guess what? I think it can happen. I believe it. I know I'm a bit of an idealist, but I believe we all need to say, God, we want this life of humility. We want this life where we can forgive and say sorry. We want this life where we can really honor and serve one another, where we can really walk by Your Spirit. Last scripture, Matthew 11. The band can come up so long. Then Jesus said, come to Me, all of you who are weary and heavy and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I want you to be honest this morning. Is there anyone that's stressed here this morning? You're just a little bit stressed about life. Life is stressing you out. Let's just be honest here this morning. If we're not, then, you know, we're living a perfect life. All of us are stressed in some way. Amen? If someone asks you, is it going well? You cannot at all say it's going perfectly well. We do have responsibility. We have stresses in life. Let's be real here. But Jesus says the following to all of us, and I believe it's an invitation for all of us this morning. Come to Me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And you know what I believe where stress and heavy burdens and all this stuff comes from? Comes from these few things that I've just mentioned. It comes from where we don't say sorry, where we carry stresses and strains because of relational breakdown, relational stuff, or where we don't forgive people. I believe it comes where we're so focused on ourselves and trying to manage our own lives and trying to run our own lives. I believe that's where stress comes from. Jesus just says to us the following, take My yoke upon you. Because I want to give you rest from all these heavy burdens. Let Me teach you, He says. Jesus wants to teach us this morning because I'm humble and gentle at heart. Isn't that awesome? I know humility. I understand gentleness. I want to teach you humility this morning. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a life. You're going to find rest for your souls. It's that thing of seeking God. You know, seeking Jesus, coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, teach me to not live a life of stress. But to live a life of responsibility. Because so many times we stress about stuff that God is supposed to be stressing about. Amen? But God wants us to take upon Him this yoke. His yoke, which is easy and light. And I believe one of His yokes that He wants us to carry is just this thing of humility. Because it's not going to be easy. It's counter towards us. Our own lives are full of pride. We're naturally proud. We want to do things our own way. We want to take control. But God says, My yoke is easy to bear. And the burden I give is light. And when we walk in humility, I believe God is going to use us to change the world. And we're going to take the responsibility of souls upon ourselves, responsibility of the kingdom coming, the responsibility of His kingdom and His business and His stuff, and not our stuff and our business and our stresses and our own little lives. Amen. Because I'm not saying your life is nothing. It's significant. But I want you to know that the life God has given you is significant. Your own life. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. My life is all about Christ. It's hidden with God in Christ. The life I've been called to live is all about Him, all about Jesus. So I want you to this morning be so honest with where you're at, because God wants to change your burden. He wants you to give you a yoke of humility that you can say sorry easily, that you can forgive, that you can have freedom, that you can walk in incredible wisdom and walk like Jesus walked. Never stressed about stuff, but knew he had a calling and a purpose. He just fulfilled that. 3 years, he fulfilled an incredible purpose. Raised up leaders. Didn't do everything. You know, some of us, we want to do everything. Jesus says, don't do everything. Just do what I've called you to do. Just build your section of the wall. You know, at the beginning of the year, we talked about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls. You just build your section, and it's going to be challenging, but it's going to be stress-free, because God is going to give you wings like eagles. So he desires one response from us at this time. That of humility. Last quote before we pray. Jonathan Edwards said the following. A truly humble man is sensible of his natural distance from God, of his dependence upon him, and of the insufficiency of his own power and wisdom. A truly humble man is sensible of his natural distance from God, and of his absolute dependence upon him, and of the insufficiency of his own power and wisdom. Let's all pray this morning and close our eyes. Lord, we want to thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you come. And I believe you want to exchange yokes here this morning. You want to give us your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light, Lord. Thank you that we can take upon us the yoke of humility this morning, Lord, where pride so wants to destroy our lives. Lord, your word says that pride just brings destruction, and it brings shame, and it brings condemnation in our lives. But this morning you want to exchange, Lord, that with the yoke of humility, Lord, so that we can see your kingdom come, Lord. So that we can, Lord, forgive and repent and say sorry, Lord, that we can walk in a servant heart, Lord, to serve others, to serve people with the gospel, Lord, to serve people and to honor others, Lord, esteem others higher than ourselves. You've called us, Lord, to download us wisdom, Lord. You want to download wisdom into all of us by your Holy Spirit. But Lord, this morning, so many of us walk by our own wisdom, and we walk by worldly wisdom because it's filled with pride. And we think we've arrived, and we think we're okay. But Lord, this morning, I thank you that you want to exchange and do a great exchange this morning in our lives. So I just want us to do a prophetic act this morning. But I want to ask you just to be honest. I want you to put up your hand while your eyes are closed right now, and you're just focusing on what God is saying to you. I want you, if you're really honest here this morning, if you struggle to say sorry, or if you still need to say sorry to someone here this morning, or you generally find it so difficult to say sorry, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. That's all I want you to do. Just be honest where you're at. Thanks for those hands. Just keep them up just for a while. Anyone else? You just want to recognize that you struggle to say sorry? Thanks. You can put them down again. And then there may be some people here this morning. You struggle to forgive. You've been hurt. You know you need to forgive someone. At this moment, the Spirit of God is telling you there's this person you need to forgive them. Or you just struggle generally to forgive. There's nothing specific here, but you find it so difficult to forgive. I want you to just raise your hand here this morning. If that's you this morning. I want you just to be really honest. Thanks for those hands. And then this morning, if you find it difficult to serve, it's all about yourself, and you find it so difficult to honor other people, to esteem others, to see others blessed, because you want to be blessed, you want to be the leader, you want to be in control, and you find it very difficult to serve. I just want you to raise your hand this morning, just to be honest with where you're at with the Lord, if that's you. You struggle to esteem others higher than yourselves. Is there anyone like that? If the Lord's speaking, just be honest. I just want you to just recognize if the Spirit of the Lord is moving over you this morning. And then if you struggle to submit to authority, you struggle to honor authorities because you always feel they're wrong and you know better and everything like that. If you struggle to submit just to authority because maybe your father's hurt you, maybe your mother or any authority figure has been so harsh on you that you struggle now, I want you to just raise your hand. I believe God is going to touch you. If there's anyone like that, I just want you to be honest. Authority figures have never been positive in your life. God wants to change that this morning. Is there anyone like that? Thanks for your other hands. And then lastly, if you need direction in your life this morning, you need godly wisdom. You don't need to walk in any other wisdom. You desire God's wisdom. for decisions you have to make right now, for just your life, then I also want you to put your hand. If you want to obtain wisdom from God, I want you to just respond, because God wants to give you wisdom right now. Thanks for those hands. So I want us to do a prophetic act. All of us have got specific needs here this morning, okay? If you don't have a need, that's fine. But I believe all of us have some kind of a need this morning. So I want you to just kneel right there on the floor in front of your chair. Just go down on your knees in humility. We're all going to do this. If you've raised your hand here this morning and you need God to give you either wisdom, you need God to give you a heart to repent, a heart to say sorry, a heart to forgive. I know this is very humbling for us, and I'm going to do this because I need God to change my life. And I want to pray over all of you this morning. Lord, I thank you that we bring our needs before you this morning, Lord. Lord, we are desperately in need of you to help us to say sorry, God, because some of us find it so difficult to say sorry, Lord. Some of us find it so difficult to recognize that we were actually wrong because we're so angry. There's so much epinephrine flowing, Lord, and we just respond in totally the opposite, and we can't understand it, Lord, because we love you, Lord, and we want to be godly people, but yet, Lord, we find it so difficult. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that your yoke would be true to every person this morning, Lord. That your yoke would be upon every person, the yoke of humility, that we'd recognize we're wrong many times. And Lord, this morning we say sorry. So if that's you, if you need to just, first of all, recognize that you're a sinner, just say to God, God, I'm sorry that I don't say sorry always. I'm sorry, I repent, Lord, of not always being quickly to forgive. I'm slow to anger. Lord, I'm sorry that I'm so quick to anger, and I want to be slow to anger. I want to forgive quickly. I want to say sorry quickly. Say that to the Lord this morning. Lord, we also say so sorry, Lord, that we don't forgive easily, God, because you say we must. Because we don't understand the cross if we can't forgive, Lord. So if you need to forgive this morning, you just say to the Lord, you say, Lord, I want to help me to forgive, God. I choose to forgive this person. And if there's someone in your life right now, I want you to mention them by name. Tell them. You forgive them. Speak to them as if they're right there and say, I forgive you. So Lord, while everyone's doing that, I pray that you'd give us the strength to forgive people, Lord, that have hurt us. We choose to operate in a different spirit, Lord. Like Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. And so you could use them, Lord. So we want to operate in a different spirit. Jesus, come and reveal to us your spirit. And if you need to serve others, if you struggle to submit to authority or to honor other people, those two things, then I want you just to say to the Lord, Lord, help me to die to self. I choose, Lord, to become like Christ. So, Lord, I pray for all of us to have servant hearts, Lord. I pray for us to honor and esteem each one higher than ourselves, Lord. And to esteem government and to honor government, to honor authority structures and leaders, Lord, because you have placed them there, God. Lord, when we need wisdom, some of us need wisdom here this morning, I pray for incredible wisdom for all of us. Some of us need direction for our careers, Lord, and our marriages even, Lord. Certain things are falling apart in our lives. I pray for wisdom, Lord. But, Lord, it comes from a heart of humility. It comes where we humble ourselves before you. And where we say, Lord, we do not have the answers. But you do this morning. I pray for that in every person's life this morning. Lord, you see us as your people, humbling ourselves before you, seeking your face, God. Your promise is that you will turn and hear from heaven and turn to us, Lord, and hear our prayers and heal our lands, Lord. And each one here needs healing, Lord. Where they've been hurt, Lord, I pray for healing. Each one of us needs your presence more than ever before, Jesus. So come, Lord. We want to take the yoke upon us, your yoke upon us, Lord. Your yoke of humility.